Good times.
All right, go ahead, guys.
Thank you, fan. Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. The trend continues.
Yes. And arguably the smallest role possible that I could have held this thread together with. I didn't even realize, like, I said it last week, but I didn't even realize Vincent D'Onofrio was in this movie. And rewatching it, I remember why. He's literally in one scene. And he's dubbed over.
That scene.
He's very good, but that's not his voice.
Yeah, who's dubbed over by?
No, but go ahead, Alec. I know Sean told me he was dubbed over, but I'm not sure by. It's not the Brain's voice, is it?
It is Boris LaMarche.
Okay. Yeah. It's the Brain.
Who also does the Orson Welles voice on both The Simpsons and Futurama.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
I thought.
Which cartoon was it where he's like with the green penis? Was that. Maybe that was The Critic. I don't know. He did it on a bunch of shows, but there was one where they did a cutaway joke to Orson Welles doing a pee commercial, and he says green penis, which I thought was very funny. Because Orson Welles, if you haven't ever seen it, look up Orson Welles wine commercial. It's very funny.
I thought that, like, Vincent D'Onofrio had that in him. I was like, that's an amazing impression. Like,
Well, we'll get into it, but, like, I mean, as a huge Orson Welles fan, like, he looks just like him. Like, they nailed it. Like, I was like, wow, they did a really good job of casting there. Also, there's a line that, what? You all right? Did I say something? There's a line in that he says in the movie that killed me where he's like, they want Charlton Heston to play a Mexican. And that's a Touch of Evil reference, an Orson Welles movie that I fucking love, where Charlton Heston plays a Mexican. It's a noir that's about a murder that happens on the Mexican border. And Charlton Heston is in brownface in that movie. It is very unfortunate.
Is it worse than John Wayne playing Genghis Khan?
I was hoping you were bringing that up. No, nothing is worse than that. That is possibly the worst, like, ever. Though, I will say, we've brought this up several times, but me finding out that Vasquez wasn't in Aliens, wasn't actually a Hispanic woman, like, blew my fucking mind.
Jeanette Goldstein's Jewish.
Yeah, she's Jewish, and you would have gotten her autograph at Comic-Con last year if she didn't want, like, $150. I was like, I'm sorry.
You know what? Almost worth it. Like, I might have shut that out.
I love you, buddy, but I wasn't about to spend $150 on her autograph.
Oh, no, I'm not asking you to. I'm just saying that if I had been there, I would have
seriously considered it. Well, I was there. I wanted to get... You're, like, the biggest Aliens fan I know. I thought it'd be cool. I thought she would be, like, $20-$50, something like that. And I was like, oh, Gogs will love this. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, never mind. Sorry, buddy. I wish I had more money.
I would have shit my ass. That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But anyway, we didn't even talk. We watched Ed Wood.
Yeah, so. I would say, I'm going to bury the lead, Tim Burton's best film by far, in my opinion. And it makes me harken back to a time where I really liked Tim Burton. And I wish that, I mean, the last kind of movie that's, I mean, it's not similar to this, but it's more serious and it's less Tim Burton-y would be like Big Fish, where I think that's another movie that, like, relies more on, like, being a legitimately good movie and not, like, everything's Dutch angles and everything's that fucking Nightmare Before Christmas look. And I don't know.
It's I never saw Big Fish.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good.
Did he direct Big Eyes, or was that somebody else?
Yes. Yes, he did. That was also good. That was good. Yeah, I like that.
That might be my favorite Tim Burton movie, because that really surprised me how much I liked it. Yeah, I don't think I knew it was him till afterwards. I was like, oh.
Well, exactly, though, right? Because, you know, nowadays when you see something he puts out, you're like, oh, you know what you're to expect. But, like, yeah, we all like Dark Shadows.
Yeah, too. We like Dark Shadows. Beetlejuice is still good.
Beetlejuice is great. I still need to see
Edward Scissorhands is good.
I remember liking Frankenweenie.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, when I was, you know, if you talk to 18-year-old TJ, Tim Burton was, like, one of my favorite directors. I mean, all those movies you mentioned, bangers. When he was in his prime, like, I loved Tim Burton. He was legitimately, like one of my favorite people. I mean, I read his fucking book. I was, like, a huge fan of him. But, like, I just don't...
We might be watching another one next week.
Hell yeah.
I didn't know that he directed Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
another banger. I mean, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's fun.
But again, you didn't know it was him because it doesn't have like his like hallmarks. You know what I mean?
I love the first. Well, I love the Pee-wee's
first. Big, or Pee-wee's Big Adventure would have been before any of his other stuff, right? That was like
I think so.
88, 89.
It was 85.
Before Batman. That was before Batman. Before Batman. That was before.
I think it was before Beetlejuice too, if I'm not mistaken. I think the reason he got to make Beetlejuice is because Pee-wee was such a big hit.
Yeah, he Beetlejuice doesn't show. Let's see. Hold on.
I think Beetlejuice is 86, 87.
Yeah, Beetlejuice is 88. So Pee-wee's it was 85 was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Beetlejuice 88, Batman 89, Scissorhands 90, Batman Returns 92, this 94. Like he had quite a run.
Yeah, he had a run. I mean, like Edward Scissorhands is incredible. Like that's a classic. Like I love that movie. Like I don't know.
It's like all directors. Like he got, well, not all directors, but a lot of directors. Like he got used to smelling his own farts so much that he just, the product suffered. Right?
I think, like, honestly, it's funny because we'll get into this with Johnny Depp too. I think he just got lazy. Like, I think he just leans into like what people think of him, and that's what he makes now. And it's like,
yeah, Johnny Depp has basically turned into Jack Sparrow for a while.
Exactly. But I mean, like in this movie, I think Johnny Depp is fantastic.
He's charming. He's great.
He's so good in this role. Like, I don't know. I really like this movie, but we'll get into it.
And Tim Burton's wife's kind of a dime.
His ex-wife. You're talking about Lisa Marie?
Yeah.
Yeah, ex-wife. Also, I didn't remember that little stinger at the end of the movie. I always wondered about Vampirella and then Elvira, because it really is like the same.
Oh, you're talking about the coda where they were like, she got sued?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it really is like the same fucking act. It's wild that she got away with that. I mean, she's literally does the exact same thing. She was a horror movie host with like huge tits and she's a goth. I mean, God bless them both, honestly. But because Lord knows, you know, big fan, huge fan. But anyway, yeah, so we watched Ed Wood. I'm looking forward to talking about it. Sean will be joining us momentarily. But yeah, what did y'all watch this week? I like you weren't here last week, so let's go with you.
You know, I have a bunch of things listed. Oh, yeah. I can't remember what most of them were.
So they must have made a huge impact on you.
Yeah. I do remember two of them. What is that? I don't know. One is called Invasive.
Invasive.
And it's about these two kids, a girl and a guy. They are like working for a catering company at a rich person's like swanky ass party. Everybody leaves the party afterwards. They stay at the house and like squat there. Mm-hmm. Then the guy comes home and they're like trying to escape and get out before he finds them. Then they realize he's a lunatic serial killer. And he's happy that they're in his house so he can hunt them down and kill them.
I love the premise is great. That's an awesome premise.
I really didn't hate this movie. And it's like a Lifetime movie, but it like is fucking bonkers and leans into its stupidity enough that you're like, oh, it gets it.
The premise sounds
fun. It understands. It gets crazier. So the guy is like a world-class, like a world-renowned doctor who's like working on cures for cancer and has like cancer breakthroughs. So like the public loves him. Like people recognize him and think he's like this hero. But it turns out as they find out, he's kidnapping people and he created this way to like, it sounds so stupid. They're basically generating cancer faster so he can find cures for it. Oh. So he kidnaps people and gives them cancer. Like super rapid cancer. Yeah.
So he's like Randy Marsh in that episode of South Park. He's like, just getting a little bit of cancer, Sharon. He's like putting his like balls in the microwave and shit.
And then he's using that to run his research to find cures for said cancer that he gives people. It is wild.
This is a Lifetime movie? That's amazing.
It's fucking incredible. It's called Invasive.
It sounds amazing.
And typical to what Stacey and I do when we watch these movies.
Oh, I'm sure you're a high.
We watched this second. There's a sequel called Invasive Island. And we watched that first. Then we're like, oh, there's a a first movie, so we watched the first one.
You got a prequel. So to you, it was a prequel. Yeah.
Invasive Island, the one of the characters from the original escapes, and then her and her dad take a vacation to an island. It turns out the whole vacation was set up by the guy from the first movie's father as a revenge scheme. And basically, he's like hunting them down on the island. Both these movies are wild. Sound
fucking wonderful, to be honest.
And like, I cannot recommend them both enough. They're both so fun and so stupid. But like, it's the best kind of stupid because like, I feel like they're probably like halfway through writing the script and they're like, you know, this is trash. Let's just lean into the trash.
Keep going. Yeah, go as hard as possible.
And they did both times. And it's fantastic.
I love it.
I don't remember what most of these are, and I don't feel like Googling them and from my list. Just give us the titles. I just deleted them, so I can't. One was called Uncaged. I can't remember what that was about. One was called Mad Mom. Can't remember what that was about.
Mad Mom.
There was one we watched, I do remember. I can't remember the title of it, but it's basically about this couple that's flipping a house. And they hire a handyman, and he's insane, and he starts killing them. They're killing people to get with the wife.
I'm noticing a trend with these movies.
Oh, yeah. That one had Tatiana Ali in it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she looks exactly the same as she did from The Fresh Prince. She still looks like she's, like, 20 years old. That one was not so great. And really, we finished up The Righteous Gemstones where we started rewatching some of that again. We're working our way through season 3 of Reacher. Like, I don't think either one of you have watched Reacher. I think you'd both fucking love it.
I need to.
It's like crime procedural for idiots. Like, But like, the guy that plays Reacher is so this big, huge lunk of a pile of man. But he's like, they write him as like the smartest man in the world. And love he's that. Also like, it's so good. I love it. I think it's a blast. And the guy that plays him is like legit.
So the, go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me cut you off.
The guy that plays Reacher, I think he's like legit a really good actor. Like, he does what he needs to for Reacher, but like, I've seen him in a few other things. He wasn't as huge as he is now. He was not a like mountain of a man the whole time. He just did that fairly recently.
So he was at a Cubs game. I guess the whole cast of Reacher was there, and it's just funny to see how big that guy. Because that guy in like a baseball chair, like it looked like he was stuck in like a child seat because he's just so much bigger than everyone else. Like, it's fucking funny.
Yeah, he's great, and there's a guy in this season that's actually like much bigger than him, which is insane. Like, this guy is probably like 6 or 8 inches taller and probably like 50 pounds heavier of all muscle And it's insane. I still got to watch that, that movie that he was in with Henry Cavill, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. I really wanted to watch that and I never did. I want to
watch that, last week. He talked about it.
Oh, I didn't listen to the show cause it's not an Apple podcast anymore.
I know. We're still,
it was like, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on it. It was like, sort of a snarky British version of Inglourious Basterds, but not as good. Like, it was fun. But
the trailers to me seemed like it was in the vein somewhere between that and that Argyle movie.
Yeah.
And like, I'm watching it at some point. I'm interested to watch it.
I think Argyle and Inglourious Basterds are both better. It was fun. It was just kind of like, it's fun. Give it a whirl.
Of course, Inglourious Basterds is better. That's like,
yeah,
a top 50 movie of all time, in my opinion. That's my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie.
That movie rules.
But yeah, that big boy is definitely in that movie. And
is he good in it? Because like, he's having legit funny in like the trailers. Like, he was doing a good job.
You can tell him and Superman were having a good time together. Like, they were enjoying themselves.
Is that a Guy Ritchie?
It is a Guy Ritchie.
Does it feel like a Guy Ritchie?
A little bit. Like, it's got like some.
But not like, what was that one with the mobsters? Jesus Christ! Or all of them?
Snatch?
No.
Rock and Rolla?
No, more recent than that. It has Colin Farrell and
Oh, The Gentleman.
Yeah, The Gentleman.
Yeah, that movie. I never saw that. That movie is not good.
It's like it's very much imagine Inglourious Basterds, but like everyone is just like very dry and British about it. Like they're just like, all right, well, we're gonna kill everyone with a 50 cal now, and just very just
not snarky like Americans.
Nobody gets excited. Everyone just is very all right, just very matter of fact about just murder.
Well, it's funny that Reacher guy is in that movie because he kind of looks like Hugo Stiglitz a little bit, the guy that plays Hugo Stiglitz. Fun
fact, Hugo Stiglitz is the bad guy in that movie. Yeah. Also, I never watched this show, but Mark was a big fan of this show. Reacher was like a big goon in that Blue Mountain State show.
Yeah, I never watched that. I've seen clips of it on TikTok of people saying like this is the same guy, but he's like relatively skinny and like has like frosted tips and shit like that.
Yeah,
and
he looks barely like, even looks like a Mark McGrath. Person. Like it's like
he looks like Mark McGrath.
It's wild.
That's all I really watched. I noticed today the Thunderbolts is on the Flex, so I'll probably have that watched by next week.
I took that off because it's not a good copy. So you have to wait a little longer because the copy kind of sucks. I got
excited because I was going to text you. Yeah. Is that available yet? And then when I went on, I was like, oh shit, it's there. I'll watch it like Thursday.
I mean, I can put it back on there, but
I'd rather a better copy.
Yeah, it sounds
I did that shit when I watched Deadpool and Wolverine on whatever streamy site I ripped that off of, and I would have rather just waited that point because the quality was so trash.
Well, it sucks because the video quality is really solid, but the audio quality is really terrible. So that's why I was like, I'm taking this off.
Oh, well.
Those things turn around so fast.
It's been out for like almost 3 weeks now.
Yeah, I'll probably have it on there very soon. So, hey, Sean.
And that's all I watched. But is everybody else as psyched for Superman as I am?
Oh my god, yeah. Especially after that last trailer. Like, my god.
Like, never in a million years would I thought I'd been so excited for a Superman movie.
Yeah. I remember being really pumped about the one with Kevin Spacey. I remember that trailer like making me pretty excited.
God, and then watch the movie and then the
movie sucked.
It was so fucking boring.
I'm not going to hold you. I was kind of excited for the Man of Steel when that trailer came out. I was like, you know what? That doesn't look bad.
Yeah,
I saw some on TikTok talking about the Man of Steel versus BVS versus this new one coming out. It's like, well, at least at this one, we probably won't have the dad commit tornado side.
Tornado side is tremendous.
That fucking movie. Like, I was excited for Man of Steel because we didn't know how shitty Zack Snyder was at the time. Remember, like, he had only had, 300 and Watchmen and Dawn of the Dead up to that point. So you're like, okay, like, maybe he can do something. And
I liked Watchmen at the time. I think we all did.
Yeah.
I liked Dawn of the Dead at the time. I thought Dawn of the Dead at the time was, like, a masterpiece.
Oh, that's still good, though.
It's still good. Fun. But now I see it through Snyder lenses, and I'm like, it's still good, but you can see the Snyder flaws through it.
Yeah, very true.
TJ?
I only watched one thing. I watched... I believe it's Norwegian or Swedish. I couldn't tell by the language, but it's called The Ugly Stepsister. It's another Shudder original. It's just a gory version of Cinderella. Told from like the stepsister isn't evil, she's just ugly, and it's like I don't know, a lot of people were raving about this movie, but like honestly, aside from the gore, like it's just Cinderella, so I found it really boring and like not like they didn't change the story enough where I was like interested in what was going on because it's Cinderella and I know exactly what's going to happen, and like the only thing they added was like so the ugly stepsister and to try to win the favor of the prince, right? They make her go through all this like fucking Victorian plastic surgery, which is just horrific. Like there's one scene where like she has like fake lashes, like literally like sutured under her eyes, which is just disgusting. And they don't have fucking anesthetic. They give her a nose job by literally, and I guess that's what they do too currently, but all they do is like break her fucking nose and then hold it in place with this weird looking thing that looks what was that guy? I don't know. One of the Mad Max villains that like he had that thing on his face.
The people eater.
That guy. She had literally that thing on her face. But like, it was also
the Pooh Bear.
It's also one of these movies where like, so like the ugly stepsister is the main character, and she is portrayed as this kind of innocent person thrust into this, and she actually is like, you know, the movie opens with her reading the poetry of the prince, and she's like, it's her dream to like meet him and marry him. And she's genuinely like a good person. But then by the end of the movie, like she's just like insane and like, you know, hurting herself. And like by the end, I'm like, what was the fucking point? Like, I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really understand the point of the movie. Cause like, spoiler alerts, the prince pick Cinderella, and she just left deformed and fucked up, and it's like, okay, well, why did I watch this movie? Like, I don't really understand the point of the movie after I watched it. Like, yeah, there's some gross shit in it, but like that is not enough to like keep me interested. Like, I mean, the grossest scenes in the, at one point she's movie overweight. She's not overweight like at all, but this woman that's at this like grooming school that's trying to make her into more of a lady, right? She gives her this fucking tapeworm egg, and she eats that, and she's like, well, you can just eat whatever you want because the tapeworm's gonna eat your food or whatever. So by the end of the movie, after like literally this happens in like the last 10 minutes, like the prince has already rejected her, blah 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 blah, she like pulls the tapeworm literally like out of her mouth, and it's really disgusting. It's like, okay, like that's fine and all. And then like at one point, you know, we're all familiar with Cinderella, like the one shoe falls off, and then the prince is like, whoever fucking puts this shoe on, like, you know, that's who I'm looking for. Well, of course her foot doesn't fit into the shoe, so she like hacks her fucking toes off to fit into the shoe. And it's like,
that's actually true to the original story.
I mean, I don't care.
I'm just telling you.
I don't care.
Scott's watched a lot of the Brothers Grimm movie over and over and over.
I mean, that's fine. I didn't know that. It doesn't really change my like opinion of it, where it's just like,
who could care?
A couple of like gross scenes does not an interesting movie make. And I don't know. Like, and then the movie really threw me for a loop, because again, the main character through the whole movie is the titular character, the ugly stepsister. And like almost like before they get to the ball, the Cinderella character gets like a lot of screen time, and even like the fucking fairy godmother and the fucking pumpkin and all that shit. But it's like, why are we focused? I thought the movie was about the other one. Why is it even dealing with her at all? Like, if anything, she should be like an ancillary character that like barely matters because of the perspective is from the ugly stepsister. I don't know. I thought the movie was a fucking mess. Also, like, this is something that like, you don't really, at least I don't really say that often about a movie. The editing is really bad. Like, the editing is like really weird. There's a lot of like really harsh cuts that don't make any sense. And like, it felt like somebody that edited this movie didn't know what they were doing. Like, I don't know. It was distractingly bad at times, but overall, I think people that are reacting to it are reacting to it for like two scenes, and it's cause it's gross. And they're like, oh, this is the greatest movie ever. And it's like, no, it's just gross. Like, I don't know, like something like The Substance, for example, is very gross, but it's like an interesting story, and it's a visually very cool looking and everything. But like, this is just gross, and it's Cinderella. So it's just like a big nothing for me. Like, it's like, oh, okay. Like, it's Cinderella with like body horror elements. And I don't know. It didn't go far enough away to make the story interesting for me. And I just didn't really care for it. I don't think it's the worst thing I've ever seen, but it's nothing I'll ever revisit.
We need a Quentin Tarantino Cinderella remake where he just spends 30 minutes trying shoes on ladies' feet.
I mean, I'm good with no more like retelling like public domain like classic stories. It's just like, I don't.
Oh, I guess that's a good point. Like, you don't have to. Nobody can do it.
I mean, yeah. Well, the other thing is it's like you can do stuff like this, but like do something with the material. Like, I really, like I said. As the credits rolled, I was just like, what was the point of this movie? I don't really understand the what they were trying to go for. Like, I guess like the easiest thing would have been like, I thought what the movie was trying to say is like how women are forced into these rigid, you know, set beauty standards and all this crap. But that's not what the movie's about by the end of it. And then, like, all the men in the movie are horrible. And it's like, okay, I thought that's where they were going. But then it's just like, no, she's just a deformed freak that, like, did everything for this guy for no reason. It's just like, okay, thanks. Like, I don't know. Not a very good movie. Like, a 4 for me. But that's all I watched. Sean?
I didn't really watch a ton. I mean, there's too much shit going on. With the Capcom Fighting Collection 2 came out, so that took up a big bunch of my time.
That fucking Expedition. SNK versus Capcom has one of the weirdest systems in any Capcom game. It has that
the ratio shit. I love that.
It's so weird. Like, it's a very strange system.
I'm going to put it out on Front Street that Capcom versus SNK 2 is the best fighting game ever made. That's just my opinion.
Very good. It's underrated.
Damn it.
Expedition 33 took up a fair amount of time. I started building fucking Gundams, so that was something. So I watched a couple 30 for 30s, but I think we've talked about most of them already. This one was about SMU, the Pony Excess, the death penalty, which is it's interesting because fucking it's like, who cares now? The kids get paid, and it's how it should be. And they were all getting fucking blown out, the colleges, for fucking paying the players. So, I mean, it's kind of a neat time capsule. Like,
for sure.
And I'm up to, like, almost the end of the Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, hell yeah.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, it's super good. And I'm glad when those guys make a show, they're like, okay, there's a definitive end to this. Because it's like, it feels like it's starting to tighten up and wrap up, and I'm good with that. I like the characters, and you could go a lot of places with it. But there's a lot to be said for something that just has an ending.
Yeah.
And doesn't wear out its welcome. Season 38 of The Simpsons.
Yeah, for real.
The hell you say.
But no, that show's really good. I don't know if they're going to do another show together. I assume they probably will.
I don't know. Walton Goggins' star is starting to take off. Be able to big time Danny McBride now.
Yeah, maybe, but like, he seems like a fun dude. Like, it seems like he might be into it no matter what.
Uncle Baby Billy is one of the greatest characters.
Dude, when they just call him Uncle Baby, I'm like, no good.
I love the thread that they start building through the show where they actually refer to his wife as Aunt Tiffany, even though she's like 20 years younger than them.
Yeah.
Like, by Aunt Tiffany. She's like, love you, babies.
It's Teen Jesus. It's Teen Jesus.
Teen Jesus.
Teen Jesus is fucking hysterical. Yeah, well, I'll be seeing y'all again. Well, you're our uncle, so yeah. No, it's really good. It's a very easy watch, but that's kind of all I got into. I guess we can get into our feature presentation.
No, Gogs.
Oh, shit. I thought I'm sorry, Gogs. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just assumed that I was last.
No, it's all good. I only watched half of the thing. I finished Expendables.
It
got worse. It's like maybe the worst, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's criminally bad. Like, I don't understand. Hey, TJ, if you're talking, I can't hear you, brother.
So that really is saying something, because you've watched a lot of garbage.
I have.
And you've watched several other Expendables movies.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to put it out there. I think Expendables 3 was the high watermark. And
which one's the Van Damme one?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I believe that's the Van Damme. The Van Damme one is the best one. Maybe that was Expendables or whatever.
I think so. That's Scott Adkins is in that one too, I think.
This one, the only
Expendables.
The only bright spot in this film is at some point they let Tony Job have a little wiggle room to show off his craft, and he's still I'm happy that he, like, I know after Ong Bak, like, things kind of spiraled out of control for him and things went south, and it's nice to see that he's, like, back and working and seems like he's in good shape, like he's out here doing it.
The worst Expendables movies, like, being the grossest tumor, like, it's saying something, but none of it's good.
Yeah, it's like, this is like, I don't know, this is like the Fast and the Furious franchise of war crime movies. Like, it just doesn't, like, for those of you who tuned in last week, I think I explained that Sylvester Stallone's character died and he got, like, burnt to a crisp, and they, like, show it in the movie, and like, holy shit, okay, that's fucking gruesome. And then they took his burnt, crispy hand back to the Expendabar. But then you find out
the Expendabar
at the end of the movie, he comes back to save the day with his attack helicopter, and then you're like,
what? Oh, so he didn't get burned to death. That was
no, a fake but out. Here's like this movie is mean spirited because in the beginning of the film, Barney goes to get Lloyd Christmas to go fight guys at this Expendabar to get his expendable ring back from like a short man, and right. They just get into like a scrap. Well, the whose body did we recover from the plane? When his plane was going down, he had the short guy from the bar knocked out in a footlocker, and he put his hat on him and put him in the pilot seat. The guy woke up to crashing into the earth and burning to death.
Oh my God.
Love that.
Yeah. Also, Tony Jaa has a very tiny 15-foot boat that is able to draft behind a fake aircraft carrier in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Pretty sure that's not how physics works. But...
I'm 100% certain that's not how physics works. But it's awful. And 50 Cent's bad in it. Like, 50 Cent's big, though. Like, 50 Cent's a bigger person than I thought he was. Like, he's kind of beefy. But that's it. That's all I watched. It was just the rest of
that. Will they ever make another one of those movies? Did that one make any money?
It probably made money because, like, why wouldn't it? People are dumb and people love dumb shit. Like, I watched it. Someone paid for it.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was in the second one.
Yeah. And that's the high watermark. That's the best one they did.
This one lost a buttload of money.
Do you guys remember?
Had a budget of 100, only made 50.
Oh my God.
Ouch.
That means it probably lost like $1.50 altogether. Do you guys remember for that brief moment when Copland came out and thought Sylvester Stallone was going to have a very interesting career as an older man? And then he got on like Super HGH. Yeah. And just like made all these shitty ass movies.
Well, I mean, he made like the Creeds.
He did make. Yeah. He made Rocky Balboa and John and Rambo, which were both pretty.
Rambo good. Was John Rambo or whatever it was called. That was
fun. Yeah.
I didn't like the one where he was fighting everyone in the tunnels. That one.
Oh, I like that. I like
that one. That might be my favorite one.
That's. Yeah. I know. I know. Alex loves that one.
That one was fucking insane.
He takes on he ends the cartel. Like,
yeah,
he ends like an entire Mexican cartel.
Yeah, he like straw dogs them at the end. Like, fucking, I love
I'm
that.
Shocked.
One.
I never knew you didn't. I'm shocked you didn't like that one.
I don't know something about it. Just like the realism wasn't there for me.
Yeah, that was it.
That's
so you like the one where he's barehanded snatching cobras out of the river.
Okay. I don't mind that one for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I'm willing to overlook it.
Those two are both setting. They're both incredible movies.
They are. They're ton of, I mean, yeah, the Cambodia one is I enjoy. He turned people into legitimate
Burma. Oh yeah.
He turned something into a cloud.
I was not prepared for that movie when it came out.
No, I don't think anybody was.
I think that was maybe like the first like I guess big budget, but like, you know, in the mainstream action movie that I saw that was violent to that extent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was like a horror movie. It was so fucking violent. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I just wanted to mention Copland because I really liked that. I remember really liking that movie, and I think he's very good in it.
Yeah, that movie's never seen Copland.
Oh, it's really good.
Oh, wait, time out. I started watching Borderlands.
Oh, God.
Oh,
again?
On purpose?
On purpose. No, it's not. It's already very not good.
Didn't you watch it once already?
No, I saw it in the theater. It was terrible.
It's on Stars. So
I thought it was released on Hulu like the same day it went in the theater.
Dude, it's so bad. And like, I know Gogs is a big Borderlands fan like I am. It makes it even worse because it's so fucking bad.
But the Borderlands story is a good story. Like, they didn't have to do anything. Yeah. But they did.
all you had to do was basically make Borderlands 2 into a movie. Make Handsome Jack the villain. There's your movie. It's very easy.
That's all you, literally. But that, like that game legitimately made me tear up. I know I'm a big softie. I tear up at a lot of things, but for a looter shooter to make you feel something.
Yeah, I agree completely. I don't know what they were thinking. It's so, I mean, it's so fucked up. Like, the plot's stupid. The casting is really bad. Like, everything about that movie was a fucking also, mess.
Like, it feels, like, weirdly late. I don't know. I haven't been, like, following the Borderlands lore.
Well, it was. Years, but, like, that movie was in production for, like, 6 years. Like, it kept Jesus getting delayed. Christ. And
that's what they came up with, huh?
Yeah, well, what's her name is like just she's just doing her Hella, which I love her Hella, but like it's just
yeah, but she's like so miscast in that role. First of all, like I love Cate Blanchett, but she's like way too old to play that character. Like it just looked weird. You know what I mean? Like it just didn't nothing about it worked at all. Like it was just a mess.
Yeah, but I'll probably finish that just because I you know hate myself.
You hate yourself. I was just about to say that.
Yeah, that's it. We can talk about Edward Wood Jr., a guy who's real, it turns out.
I was not sure if you were doing a bit when you texted that.
Nope. I was 100%. I didn't understand it until legit, like at the part of the movie, like we'll call it Plan 9 from Outer Space. I was like, oh, that's a real movie that I've never seen, but I remember them talking about it in like Seinfeld. I was like, wait a minute.
Pause. That happens an hour and 40 minutes into the movie. So, like, yeah, that whole time you thought this was just like a
makeup? I thought it was a lark. I thought we were just having fun.
Lark. What a lark.
I mean, I don't know. Like, Tim Burton's not a reliable source. Like, no, what am I supposed to do?
But you thought, wait a minute, hang on. So, it just in the language of like the Gog's Head canon,
yeah,
everyone in the movie is fake except for Bela Lugosi?
Correct. I was like, I guess he's just. Okay. I guess he could have been anybody, but they picked Bela Lugosi because that's a fun thing. I had no Bela Lugosi Wild. Was the only anchored reference to reality.
Quentin Tarantino does it in like every movie. So
to be why is fair it
too
far
Gox to think that this one could not have that?
But too. Gox also isn't like a huge like film nerd. Like I feel like film nerds knew who Ed Wood was because. I mean, they say it at the end of the movie, but like Plan 9 from Outer Space was always considered like the worst movie ever made. So like I knew about Ed Wood before I ever saw this movie.
Yeah.
Just because
I played the Plan 9 from Outer Space DOS fucking point and click game. No, no I guess
I do have a question because like the opening sequence or cinema, whatever it was, had like the big tentacle and blah, blah, blah. Was Maniac Mansion, was that sort of whole thing in spot? Because they're very tentacly. Like, it seemed like it had that same.
Well, like, vibe. If you read any of those, like, not Starlog, PJ, what was Angoria or any of that shit? Or you watched, like,
Fangoria. I remember, like, Sci-Fi Channel, like, way back in the day, used to always talk about, like, old monster movies and shit like that. Yeah. Another magazine was like classic movie monsters of Hollywood. That had a lot of like cool covers and posters and shit. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I was like firmly engrossed in like fucking old horror movie shit. So that's probably why I
knew if you watched any of those, like, I forget which one was the one we had. Did they just do Elvira on WNV? They had like a creature feature. I can't remember who the host was. But if you watch any of that, like Sven Glue, that all that shit was always on there, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just surprised.
Yeah, well, there you have it.
So what happened in Ed Wood, guys?
Well, Ed Wood, who is a real person, is busy directing a World War II play with
this fucking play.
And it opens to rave reviews about how accurate the costumes are.
I love
to be happy about that.
I love throughout this whole movie. I love Ed's optimism. Like, I love that he's like, hey, that's a positive review. I hit the line.
There's a bunch of reviews where they don't even mention the costumes.
Yeah, like, that shit's so funny. Like, this movie to me has, like, comedy kind of like a Mike Judge-style comedy where, like, the jokes aren't, like, in your face, but, like, there's a plenty of little things they kind of sneak in, you know what I mean? It's more like tonal jokes.
It's very charming. Like, and Johnny Depp is incredibly charming and likable in the movie.
And I love his gaggle of like weirdos that are all like,
yeah, his like his hangers-on family that just has George the Animal Steel.
Oh, hold on. We missed something right off the jump. The movie opens, and it's very unfortunate, but Jeffrey Jones is in this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, the pedophile is in this movie. And he's in it a lot, actually. But like Jeffrey Jones was in Beetlejuice, and I don't think he was in Edward Scissorhands.
I also fucked up. I was like, oh, Daryl Hannah. I was like, wait a minute, that's not Daryl.
No, that's Jeffrey Jones. Every time you see him, you're like, oh. And
Daryl Hammond, not Daryl.
And I guess
Hammond.
I guess
oh, you said Daryl. You had me all fucked up.
I was like, my bad. Like you, I was like, I know Sarah Jessica Parker looks a lot different than she does now, but I don't think she looks like Daryl Hannah.
No. Yeah,
I know we'll get to it later. TJ texted me, and he is absolutely correct. There is no bigger trade up in the history of movies than Sarah Jessica Parker to fucking
Prime. Arquette.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I mean, Variety nailed it with the horse face thing. So good on her for saying it aloud. You know,
that shit was like that kind of hit me. I was like, oh my god! Like they actually put like that's in a movie. Like,
yeah.
I'm not the biggest Sarah Jessica Parker fan. One, she's really good in this movie, but two, she looks good in this movie. I thought she was
She's cute when she's young.
She's all dolled up.
Yeah, but she's also in that aesthetic, Sean. That you know, I love. That,
yeah. Like, 50s. Yeah, that 50s. Kinda. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I love her in what's the movie about the witches? She's hot in that movie.
Hocus Pocus.
Yeah,
yeah, I love that.
She's really good in Mars Attacks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Forgot she's in also another Tim Burton movie.
Yep. Also with his ex-wife. All right. So anyway, they make this World War II movie, and by movie I mean play. It does not great, but Ed is. His optimism lasts until the bedroom where he's laying in bed.
The theater that's playing this movie has like a leak in the ceiling. Active, and like
there's a drip pan in the front row. Like it's just, but he's with his little crew of misfits that stick with him for most of the film. And
by misfits, they're mostly some variety of queer.
Bill Murray's character in this.
Bill Murray's tremendous.
Bunny Breckenridge.
Dude, Bill Murray and Georgie Animal Steel have one of my favorite exchanges in movie history later on in this. It's very short, but it's very sweet.
So he's laying in bed with Sarah Jessica Parker. He's like, I'm a failure. I need something to do, blah, blah, blah. Yada, blah, 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 blah. And then he reads about this Christine Jorgensen is selling their rights. About their sex change to a movie company or whatever. He's like, hey, I can do that. Oh, by the way, I like to wear women's clothes. So he goes and he meets up with the guy with an ulcer from Dumb and Dumber. And he's like, hey, I'm just the right guy to make your movie. And he's like, I make pornos, basically. Are you good with that? He's like, whatever, man. I don't care what it is. And they're like,
dude, it's funny because like this is the first time he does it, but he does it several times throughout the movie. He's like, I've never told anybody this, but I like to dress in women's clothes. Like he says it like to three different people.
Dude, the fun, like also like I love this movie for the time capsule that it is, because I don't know about you guys, but like listening to how they used to like distribute movies is wild, because this guy's like, well, I already have like these states, like I have them set up for like distribution, because like they used to just movie companies used to sell directly to theaters. That whole concept,
yeah, that's so fucking wild
to me. But yeah, he's like, I got the poster. He's like, I got a poster, and you know, I don't know if Gogs you mentioned it, but the movie is about a transsexual. Like the movie is about like an early trans. Like that sounds fucking weird. I don't mean to say it like this, but the story is about. A woman transitioning to a man, and that's like why Ed's like, well, I have a unique perspective on this, and he's like, well, I just need hits or something. It's like, why?
Yeah, and he's like, all right, make it. Like, well, actually, at first he gets kind of rejected, and he also Ed works as like, I think he works on set. He works at like a botanist who's on set to deliver plants to the movie set, because he's walking around, and this is back in the day of the Hollywood
studio
system. So he's like on a studio lot, like delivering plants and admiring camels. Oh, and he meets like, I don't know if he's, if that's Blue from what's the fraternity movie? That old guy who shows up in everything, and he just shows.
Oh, that's him.
If it's not, it's a guy who looks just like
him. Looks old just like him, yeah.
And he shows him a bunch of stock footage. Also, he's later, like, oh, I can make an entire movie out of this.
The gay guy footage from The Sopranos shows up, which was funny.
Yeah. So Ed, you know, you're led to believe how Ed likes to make, you know, trash into films or films into trash or round and round we go. So as he's like leaving whatever meeting he had or something, he walks by a coffin manufacturer and he peers inside and there's a corpse in a box and then it springs to life and lo and behold, it's Bela Lugosi, Dracula himself.
In a bit of foreshadowing, actually.
Yeah.
Martin Landau and possibly the best performance in movie history.
Oh my god, he's so good in this fucking movie.
So Ed chats him up and he just like befriends him because Ed's just nice and he's like, I don't want to buy a coffin. He's like, I'm not trying to sell you a coffin. I just love you because you're great. He's like, okay, cool. He's like, well, I can't find my bus transfer. So he's like, I got a car. And they just drives
that's
him
pretty good. That's
to Bela Lugosi's house. Yeah. And now Bella's a sad. His wife died, left him, died.
I think she died.
She died.
I think she died. But this is like, it's important to notice or to know that this is like, Bella is like very old and like very addicted to drugs. And like, he hasn't been in a movie in like 20 years. Like,
his career is waning.
Ed knows him because he's like a huge movie nerd, but yeah. Like, he hasn't been famous in a long time.
And the great fucking piece of dialogue from Landau, no one gives two fucks for Bella. Like, I think about that all the time.
Yeah, because like Dracula came out in like the late 30s. And yeah. I don't know exactly what this is like in the 50s. So it's been a while since Bella has been relevant.
Yes. So Ed runs it back on the gas man, and he's like, "Listen, now I got Bela Lugosi. I'm gonna make your sexy movie. I like to wear women's clothing. What do you say?" He's like, "You got 5 days to do it." He's like, "You got it." And then,
absolutely insane the timetables they put on him. Like, he's like, "I have 4 days to shoot this movie."
There's a line, it fucking kills me, where later on, Rebella's like, "Most guys, they shoot, you know, one, two scenes. Eddie can do 25 scenes in a day." And the way he shoots them is so funny because, like, and I don't want to talk over if you're going to get to it, but it's such a small part. Where Tor Johnson walks through a door and hits it. He's like, "You don't want to do that again?" He hit the door. He's like, "Nah, it's real."
You don't want more, like, a backup? No, it's good.
Yeah, at one point he's like, "We need, don't you want to shoot it for coverage?" He's like, "Why? We got it that time."
Yeah, perfect. Not only does he have to shoot it in 5 days, he has to write it, direct it, shoot it in 5 days. So he shows Sarah Jessica Parker the script. While he's wearing her blouse or whatever, and
it's an Angora sweater.
It's an Angora sweater.
He loves those.
And I mean, who can blame him? It's soft. And she's just like, this is like, she gets all uppity about it, but then she's not much of an ally, but she sort of half comes around.
Well, you have to understand too, like, this is the 1950s, man. Like, people aren't, you know, hip. I mean, people are still.
Yeah, but Patricia Arquette, she takes maybe three beats to be like to process and move on. I'm like, that's a lady.
It's a thing where, like, and again, it's 1950, but nobody understands the difference between just cross dressing and homosexuality. They like they have no idea. So that comes up multiple times.
Yeah. So they make this movie. They try and distribute it. They get one of the guys at the studio, and he's like, "Oh, this is a joke. Like, this is." It's called Glenn or Glenda. They're like, "What the hell is this?" It's panned. It's all bad. He can't get funding for his next movie. So he's like, "You know what? I'm just going to do it myself." So he tries to finance Bride of the Atom. They put Dracula on TV to talk it up. It's really weird. Who's the comic that they pair him up against? The guy with the really deep voice.
That guy looks very familiar.
I know he's in Wayne's World. He's like, "I'm supposed to stack these watermelons and put them over here. That's all I got to do." He's like a comic that shows him a bunch of shit. Anyway, they're trying to get this all done. They're trying to raise money. They run into George the Animal Steel, who is also a real person. His name is Tor Johnson, who was like a gigantic whole chicken eating wrestler. And they're like, you're going to be our dude Lobo. Lobo's strong and he's like a monster, but a hero or some such. So then Ed's just banding about trying to get this movie made. He hangs out with Bela Lugosi at Halloween, and Bella does some heroin and then feels better about himself.
As you do.
And Ed doesn't understand that Bella's like Bella keeps it very under wraps that he's a morphine addict. He's not a heroin addict.
Right. It's morphine and something else in it. Yeah. So Ed's trying to get this all worked out and he can't get money, and he runs into some lady. He's drinking at a bar and he runs some lady, and she's like, she just moved out to Hollywood with all of her money. And $60,000 for a movie doesn't sound bad. I can do that. It's never said, but it's sort of implied that she would finance the movie if she got a role. Also, this is Martin Landau's daughter, I believe, playing this role.
Oh, okay.
So he bumps off, not didn't kill, but he Sarah Jessica Parker's character gets downgraded. So this other young lady, Loretta,
the file clerks.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she can become like the leading lady because she's the one back in the movie. Turns out she is not. She has $300. She gave it all to Ed. So she has no money. They are going to get kicked out of the studio or wherever they're filming because they have no funds. So he ends up. Then Ed, on the constant looking for more money, gets. It's one of the old men from Workaholics who's like a meatpacking tycoon. He's like, all right, I'll fund your movie, but it's got to end with like, was it a big ass explosion?
Explosion, like and you got to cast my like dumbass son as the lead.
Yeah. So there are, so they're working on getting the movie done. They get the wrapped up. They change it from, was it Bride of the Atom to Bride of the Monster because they needed. I don't know. Someone thought
it was. Well, I don't even think. I think if I remember right, they released Bride of the Atom and then re-release it under a different title. And it's like, I thought that's what happened. Maybe I misremembered it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Also, there's like this vampire lady who's basically basically Elvira. And she like,
in real life, she sued Elvira.
Yeah, they talk. Yeah, we talked about that. I think before we started recording. Oh, okay. Yeah, she. They talk about it at the end, in the very end of the movie. But yeah, it's wild that Elvira or that she lost that suit because she literally was just the progenitor of Elvira. It's like the whole thing.
Yeah, Ed was trying to like get her into his gaggle of ne'er-do-wells, and she's like, ah, leave me alone until she gets fired. Then she's like, fuck, I got nothing else to do, so I'm
also
not part of this.
Also, Ed has one of the funniest things where, like, I'm jumping around the movie, but like, he gets broken up with, and he just calls her on the phone. He's like, "Hey, you want to go on a date?"
Like,
God damn.
Yeah, he's like, "You want to go out to dinner?" And she's like, "What, like a date?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I thought you were a," and he's like, "No, I'm just a transvestite."
I'm just transvestite. Yeah, yeah. Because after Bride of the Atom or whatever, and everybody's like, you know. They're having a rap party like at the meatpacking plant and everybody's having a good time. I think at this point, now I can't think of Peter Venkman. Why can't I think of his name? He was supposed to go to Mexico to get a sex change himself.
Bill Murray. You're talking about Bill Murray, Buddy Breckenridge in the movie.
Bunny Breckenridge. And is this the part where you're talking about Sean, where we're have like a moment?
Yeah. Shout out to George Steele for learning to do this voice, because his voice is insane that he's got, but I guess it's modeled after the real guy. And he goes, I thought you were going to Mexico to become a lady. What happened? Like, it was just like really cute. You know what I mean? Like, he's not making fun of him. He doesn't have, it's not like snide. Yeah, he's genuinely curious as to why he isn't a lady now.
Yeah.
He's like, Mexico was a tragedy. But he's like, we got in a car accident. And he died. And then he's like, and the doctor was a quack. Like, Bill Murray in this movie kills me. Like, his performance is hilarious.
So good. So at this rap party where they're all happy about Bride of the Monster or whatever, what's her name? Sarah Jessica Parker finally goes off. She's like, you're all idiots and jerks. This is stupid. I'm out. I'm going to go have sex in the city, and then leaves. And then she's gone and ends up writing music later, I think, is what Dakota said about her.
Said she wrote like 2 Elvis songs.
Yeah.
Good for her.
So, yeah. So then you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So Ed Wood calls up Vampira. And he's like, you want to get down? And she's like, no. He's like, okay. And then he ends up meeting Patricia Arquette at a fun house.
Well, No. You're skipping.
No, I missed something. Go ahead.
No. So after that, Bella calls him in like the middle of the night, and he's like, Ed, come help me. And he's just in the middle of like a fucking more. I think there's actually, I think we might have missed one scene. It doesn't matter. There's another scene where that Bella calls Ed, and he's all like all fucked up. And I think that's when Ed realizes that he's on fucking morphine. But then there's another call, and he shows up at Bella's house, and Bella pulls a fucking gun on him. Yeah. And then at that point, like, he's at his lowest point, and he's like, I need help. So Ed takes him to a rehab facility.
That's right.
And that's when he meets Patricia Arquette.
Right, yeah, because Bella doesn't have any money, doesn't have any...
God knows how awful a rehab facility was in the fucking 50s. Like, I can't even imagine.
Right, so I'm sure it was just like a sanitarium.
Right, exactly.
Well, there's a scene where him, like, tied to a bed, screaming out the morphine from his body. So
I wasn't sure if that was an actual scene, because that scene ends with Ed waking up. So I didn't know if that was like a dream Ed was having. Dream. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But anyway.
But yeah. I missed this. So he didn't meet Patricia Arquette at a fun house. He meets her at the rehab facility because she is there. I forget who she's there visiting.
It's her grandfather.
Yeah.
She's like knitting booties for him. It's like her.
And he's like, how long you been here? It's like, I've been my 14th booty or whatever. So, they go to a fun house. He's like, listen, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I'm a transvestite. She's like, okay. He's like, do you still like ladies? He's like, yeah, I like girls. He's like, okay, that's fine. Do you like to have sex with girls? Like, yeah, I love having sex with girls. It's like, okay, cool.
And I think she also has an Angora sweater, which he's all hard for. He like loves Angora sweaters.
I mean, she kind of looks like Sarah Jessica. Like, they have like the same haircut. They wear kind of the same clothes. Like,
it was the style at the time.
She is the Optimus Prime to Sarah Jessica Parker's Leader One from the GoBots. Like, they are basically the same archetype.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So then Bella gets, well, they say he's cured, but it's because they ran out of money and no one's covering the bill for the rehab. They get him out of rehab. They take him to the opening night of Bride of the Monster, which is just the chicken jockey scene, like en masse.
It's like a fucking riot.
There's like a full-blown, and I don't know what these sailors or convicts were into, but it's just popcorn's getting slung everywhere. Vampira's boobs are getting grabbed. Like, everything's bad. And they have to run their ass out of there.
The scene in Gremlins where they go to the movies is what it looks like.
That all goes poorly. So now they got to figure out what the next move's going to be. Bella's not doing great. And Ed's just hanging out with him, and he records a little bit with Bella, and then you find out Bella dies, and they go to his funeral, and then Ed talks to like a church youth group about making a movie to then their 12 Apostle movie. Go ahead.
No, what happens is that the guy. Ed is behind on his rent, and his landlord shows up.
That's it.
And he's like, oh, you make movies, because he sees his Bride of the Monster poster. And he's like, yeah. And then like Ed like sells him, and he's like, the guy's like, oh, we don't have the money to make like the 12 individual Apostle movies. So Ed's like, what you got to do is invest in a movie that's going to make money, like a horror movie, or a sci-fi movie, because kids love sci-fi. And then you can roll that money into your Apostle movie. So he does like a whole, like, he's very good at like convincing people. Like, he's a very good
super salesman. Charming.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sells them on the dream. So then that ends up becoming.
And it's funny because at the time his movie is called like Grave Robbers from Space.
And like, we have a big problem with grave robbing.
He's like, it's the title of the movie.
So they're making the movie. Yeah, Grave Robbers from Out of Space.
Oh, real quick, there is a really sweet scene where Landau gets out of the rehab and he really wants to make a movie and they're not doing anything. So he brings him by the house and just films him like picking flowers.
Yeah.
And tells him it's a movie like right before he dies.
Yeah, it's charming. But then that ends
the last. Yeah, it's the last piece of film that Bela ever shot. So that's when Ed's like, well, Bela Lugosi is going to be a star in this new movie. And they're like, I thought he died. He's like, he did, but I still have, you know. And it's kind of brilliant. So he's like, he has that one little piece of stock footage, and then he casts his chiropractor.
Yeah,
and this is like, all real, by the way. It's all real, actually. Like that is legitimately what happened.
It's like it doesn't even look like him, and he's like, do the thing, and he puts like the cape over his face. He's like, my god.
Yeah.
So they there's a lot of issues with the production because the Baptists are mad about everything, and they want to call it Plan 9 from Outer Space, and they don't like acting, and they don't.
I love when they cut to him editing. And he's like, you know what? Plan 9 is a better title.
That's a good idea. And then he meets up with Orson Welles. And
hold on, one second. There's one bit that I thought was really funny too, because even though Vampira is unemployed, she doesn't really want to be associated with this movie, so she agrees to be in the movie as long as she has no speaking roles. Like, she doesn't have any dialogue. So then, like, so he makes Tor the lead actor, the George the Animal Steel character, and they're like, this guy's terrible, he can't talk. And he's like, well, Bella's dead, and Vampire doesn't have any lines, I can have somebody talk.
it's so much, it's very charming. He ends up meeting up, he meets Orson Welles in a bar.
Sidebar, like, this is the only part of the movie that's not true. This did not actually happen. This is movie magic, but it's a great scene.
So, it's a callback to earlier when he's talking to the girl that looks like Debbie Mazar, Martin Landau's daughter.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I direct, I write, I act, and she's like, nobody does all that. He's like, yep, just two of us, me and Orson Welles.
Yeah, so he's like, be like me, do a Citizen Kane, take control, don't lose your vision.
Real quick, I was talking to TJ and I'm like, is that 80 yard? Because that sounds really weird. And then I looked it up and it's Maurice LaMarche just doing his The Brain voice, which is just an Orson Welles voice. Also, the critic, the wholesome green penis.
That is where it's from. It's from The Critic. Yeah, we were talking about that before you got on. I couldn't remember what cartoon that was from.
Also, they make a great Touch of Evil joke where it's like, oh, they want Charlton Heston. Did you already talk about this?
Yeah, they want a Charlton Heston play a Mexican. I love Touch of Evil. It's a funny joke.
So then he goes back. He's like, screw it. I'm making my movie, but I am going to call it Plan 9 from Outer Space. It opens to a big premiere attended by literally tens of people. It's in honor of Bela Lugosi.
Oh, no, the movie premiere is like packed.
Yeah, it's I didn't understand. How did he pull that part off?
I mean, it's a movie. It's just a nice ending to the movie.
So then, the movie, it does okay enough. It sort of cements, I guess it's probably his most famous thing he did. Him and Patricia Arquette get married and kind of live happily ever after. And there's a bunch of codas about all of the people and what they did. Like, or Johnson and the chiropractor and his ex-girlfriend and Bunny. And it's about a real person that had happened. And
a bunch of real people.
This is the movie that like the disaster artist would be if the disaster artist wasn't filled with like insufferable human beings.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was a disappointment. But that's
charming. And it's in black and white.
And it looks great.
It does look great. It's
shot really well. What am I going to say this time?
Alec, was your favorite part of the movie the ally ship?
Hey, that's a good one.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. This movie is like very progressive. Alec? What's that?
Were you able to finish it?
No.
Alec.
Oh.
I only got... I got... I stopped watching it when they're filming on the street and the cops pull up and they get scared off.
Oh, yeah, we gotta go. It's early on.
Yeah, it was like a quarter or a third of the way of the movie when it just kept freezing up on me.
Yeah, that was when they're filming Glenn or Glenda, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie is like very progressive for the time, for sure. Like, because it doesn't vilify any of Ed's friends or their life, you know what I mean? Like,
and it doesn't really poke fun at them either.
No, it just portrays them as people. Like, it's pretty great. Like, I don't know. I always see a lot of like clickbaity articles about like, you know, the best, you know, queer representation in film or whatever. And it's like, why isn't this ever brought up? I feel like this one's
Kristen Cruisin.
I just feel like this is, well, I mean, I love Cruisin, but like Cruisin is very exploitative. Like, it's, I mean, but we all agree that like there's way more to that movie than what we got. And I still think that there's subtext that Al Pacino is gay in that movie, but that's a whole nother story. Listen to our Cruisin episode from like 5 years ago. If you can find it anywhere. All right. Anything else we want to talk about? We did talk through that synopsis like a ton.
I would probably say this for my review part, but like I think the review part for me is just gonna be the Chris Farley show, so I'm gonna put it out there. I texted TJ and I have to revise this a little bit, but besides Patricia Arquette and Martin Landau, who I forgot was in North by Northwest, everybody that's in this movie, this is their best performance and their best movie.
Yeah, agreed. I think everybody's amazing in this. I've knuckle shovel time.
No, I was asking Goggs.
Oh,
you ask me if I concur.
I know Bill Murray's going to be a tough one for you.
I think Bill Murray's got a pretty, but he's really good in this. I will always have a soft spot for Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Like,
he's very good in that.
I love him in that movie, but this is in the conversation. He's really good in this movie. He's charming. He's so good. I forget how much of a smarmy prick he is in real life. Like, I'm like watching it. I was able to watch it. His performance was so good. It transcended my inherent bias I brought to this by going, oh no, Johnny Depp. So Patricia Arquette's great in it. I don't know if I've got enough Martin Landau in me to say that he had anything better than that role. That pause.
Clearly, you guys are forgetting his role in Ready to Rumble.
Oh shit!
I
did forget about Ready to Rumble.
This is Tim Burton's best movie, right? Like, hands down.
We were talking about that. It's like people. I mean, Edward Scissorhands. People like a lot. I like the OG Batman. Beetlejuice. He was on a run when he made this, but it's really good. Like, it's one of his best. It's probably his best. I don't know if it's my favorite.
Gotcha.
That's fair.
All
right. 5 minutes. Go ahead, guys.
I'm going to give this a 9. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I'd never seen it before. And it sounds, from what I gather, and I'm not continuing with the bit about this being a real thing, but like the fact that this was a real story and it was this kind of crazy and outrageous, and it actually seems like all of these crazy and outrageous things really happened, that kind of makes it even better. Like, it's well done. It's entertaining. It is well acted. It's beautifully shot. I love Johnny Depp in it. And I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't know what I was going to think. I'm glad I didn't accidentally watch Barton Fink like I thought I was going to, because I was like, I know we're watching a movie with a guy's name.
That's so wild. Good movie, though. If you watch Barton Fink, that's also a very good movie.
But no, it was really good. And I'm really happy that I saw it, because it's solid. And I never would have watched it otherwise. So, Sean, throw it back at you.
Nah, I'm gonna give this a 10. This is an easy 10 for me. It's such a charming movie about the power of friendship, And like at every, even though like you're having fun with the characters, it, like at no point does it demean anybody, which is a rare feat, especially because TJ mentioned it before. This is widely considered, you know, up until whatever, Stark Exorcist, to be the worst movie ever made. Like, this is a historically bad movie. And they could have taken a very easy route, be like, look at this dipshit. But yeah, he's like so positive, and like, no matter what, it's like you're really rooting for everybody in this movie. Like, again, I know I brought it up a minute ago, but like the disaster artist, like, I hate everybody in this movie. I don't give a shit if this movie gets made at all. The only reason I'm watching it is because I'm already familiar with the movie that they're referencing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you don't have to have any kind of knowledge of Ed Wood or Plan 9 from Outer Space or any of that shit to enjoy this movie.
That is correct.
Yeah.
The only thing that's like kind of, and it's not nearly as good of a movie, but I kind of like the let's put on a show and make a movie, is a movie called, I think it's called The Beginners with Jeff Bridges, where this whole town comes together to shoot a porno movie.
That is a good movie.
Yeah. But this is my favorite, and I think the best Tim Burton movie. And it's a shame. Well, I mean, Dark Shadows is good, but like, it's a shame he didn't make more. This is going to sound really stupid. More less fantastical movies.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I completely agree.
Yeah, this is grounded.
Yeah, no, and it's super good. I fucking love this movie. I'm glad it held up because I was a little bit worried. Alec, you didn't see the movie. What's your score?
2.5 for the 25% that I watched.
Yeah, I mean
it was trending towards a 10 though, so
yeah, that's true.
It got all the points it could.
Yeah, it maxed out on its short time left, or short time that I watched it, maxed out on potential.
Fair.
Who's left?
Me.
You.
It's a 10 for me, dog. I fucking love this movie. It's one of my favorite mini genres of movies. The movie inside a movie. I just love it. Like, I feel like it's just, if you do that, I'm probably going to like the movie. And this movie, I mean, Sean touched on it. Like, you're rooting for all these characters, but it's also like a movie about loving movies and like just being like, just following your passion. And like, I don't know. I just identify with that kind of stuff, and I really liked it. I think it looks great. I think that it is stylistically like very well done with being pretty understated. Like, I think a lesser director really like hams up the like 50s sci-fi, 50s monster movie aesthetic and like makes it a lot more cheesy than this, but it just looks great.
That's kind of a good point, though, is you don't really see any of the movie they make, like, and it's not really important to see it.
No, because it's more about them than the movie itself. Like, it, and it's more about like the love that they have for this schlock, because that also represents the love that like us as fans have like later on. Like, people watch, you know, I've seen Plan 9 like years ago, and I enjoyed it because it's a lot of fun. And I mean, like, there's something to be said for that, right? Like, the just the pure passion of loving this kind of schlocky genre stuff. And also, like, every performance is amazing. Martin Landau, who I think won an Oscar for this, like, he's so fucking good in this movie. Everybody's good in this movie. Like, I said it to Sean, and Sean said it earlier, but like, this is my favorite Bill Murray performance in any movie. Like, every scene he's in is hilarious, and like, it's just like the way Bill Murray is great in all of his roles, because he's very good at delivery. Like, he's a very good at, like, he understands scenes very well, and he just, like, he always knows the right way to kind of bring in lines and like adjust his cadences and stuff. And like, he's just very funny in this movie. But I love this movie a lot. Like, I'm like with Sean, because I haven't watched this in years, so I was a little worried that I wasn't going to hold up. But I think this movie is a fucking masterpiece. Like, I think this movie is like incredible, one for the ages, honestly. And it's also like, it's the kind of movie where, like, I feel like it's the perfect confluence of like being artistic, but also being like very easily digestible for anybody to enjoy. Like, there's a lot of art in this movie, but it's not like, you know, L'Age d'Or or some shit. You know what I mean? And also, talking about like the Burton-y stuff, like, I thought that And I he did use his art direction in one place, and it's at the spook house that they go to, because all the little decorations look like Tim Burton shit. And I'm like, oh, there it is. But like, that's all you got. That's just that little tiny sliver. And I'm like,
but it's also, it's like appropriately used. Like, it makes
exactly
sense for the context,
like,
of the film.
It's perfect. But like, it's also not filled with, like, I don't know. Like, I just, in my mind, I see like the corny version of this movie with like theremin music everywhere. And like, I don't know, just a bunch of stuff that I feel like later, like if Tim Burton made this now, it'd probably be awful.
Oh, 100%.
But like,
the part when they're in the spook house and Ed has to duck the scythe that comes.
Yeah, I love it.
I love how they're like mid conversation. He's like genuinely excited, like, "Oh, a spook house! I'm gonna run over there."
Yeah, but you know, again, like Ed is a really like sweet, endearing character, and like I've seen a lot of people say that the movie doesn't do a good enough job because it doesn't talk about like the darker parts of like Ed's life, because he was like an alcoholic and shit, but like, I don't really think that works for the movie. And like, they even mention it at the end of the movie that like he, you know, like he ended up dying later on because of his alcohol problems. But like, you don't need that in this movie.
Yeah.
We also
didn't touch on it. I wanted to just mention it real quick, is Martin Landau as Bela Lugosi's hatred for fucking
Boris Karloff.
Is either British or he thinks he's British? He's like,
yeah, Boris Karloff, he was British. Yeah.
I had no idea. But then like, when they get to the chiropractor double, it's like, well, let him talk. It's like, let me hear you call Boris Karloff a cocksucker.
I love that. Oh, I also love throughout the movie, like, people keep forgetting. They keep telling Bela Lugosi that they loved him in movies that was Boris Karloff and not him, which is fucking hilarious. We didn't touch on it, but it's one of my favorite scenes, like, in any movie, when they make Bella, like, go out, and he's supposed to get killed by this octopus, and they grab this they steal this octopus.
Oh, from, like, the heist scene was hilarious. Yeah,
they steal this octopus out of, like, a movie set garage or whatever, but, like, they get the octopus, and the octopus looks great, but there's a motor, you know, because it's mechanized or whatever, and they're like, hey, where's the motor? And, like, you told me to get the octopus. You didn't say nothing about a motor. So then fucking Bela Lugosi's in this fucking pond, and he has to like act like this thing. He's like, when you get in there, just like move his arms and legs around, like it's trying to kill you. Like, that shit's so fucking funny. And then Boris is like, he's like, it's cold, like, give me that whiskey. And he fucking just like handles the whiskey. But also, like, before I go, I've talked too much already, but like, I think this movie does an incredibly good job of juggling tone, because the Bela Lugosi parts where he's obviously in like the throes of like being a horrible drug addict are handled really well. And you feel a lot of sadness with that character, right? Like, there's comedy, like his performance has so many layers, right? Cause he's funny. And he's also like, obviously like kind of sheltered from like society. And he's also very eager to be a celebrity again. Cause right. There's a scene where all the paparazzi are in the rehab, and he's like, yeah, but I'll be on the front page. And like, he's so vulnerable. And I don't know, man, like it's a very, very good performance. Like, it's just, I think it's amazing. And as somebody that's also like a big Bela Lugosi fan, like, it's very appropriate. Like, I just think this movie is great. I could watch this movie 100 times. I love it. So yeah, that's Ed Wood.
I think Alec is up.
Alec's pick is go ahead, Alec. Who's the
why? Oh man!
Oh, because I had one, but go ahead. Maybe we'll get back around to it, because we've already had Patricia Arquette twice. I might be able to swing her in something else.
Were you going to pick Lost Highway?
I sure was.
Oh my god, that would have been that would have been interesting.
At least you get Bill Pullman. That's like getting a fucking like what is that blood type that you can give to everybody? He's an
O negative.
No, O positive, isn't it?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a what's the blood doctor?
Phlebotomist.
Phlebotomist. That's a vampire. Also, did anybody realize Dr. Acula. You think Mitch Hedberg saw this movie?
I think he did.
He must have.
Yeah, the Dr. Acula is in this movie. I was like, whoa, that's a Mitch Hedberg
show.
That
made me crack up.
Dr. Acula. I don't get it.
So I'm back and forth between two, and I'll let you guys pick of the two. The first option is Sleepy Hollow.
Okay. Johnny Depp is the threat, obviously.
I mean, Johnny Depp, Martin Landau is in it. I think
Jeffrey Jones is in it.
Yeah, you can pick your thread. There's like a bunch of people from this are in that.
We do the same theme, but it's just we just go from pedophile to pedophile.
Well, the other movie that I had an option was also based off Jeffrey Jones. Howard the Duck.
Ooh.
I've never seen Howard
the Duck. Oh, I feel like we got to go with Howard
the Duck. Yeah, I mean, I vote Howard the Duck if we got to take.
I feel like we got to watch. That's a movie I watched, and we've talked about my HBO experience as a kid. Yeah. Howard the Duck was always on HBO. Yeah. I watched that movie like 17 times. All right.
So Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck. The first Marvel movie, if I'm not mistaken.
The Spider-Man and that shitty Spider-Man movie wasn't.
Oh, like those, like the Reb Brown Captain America.
I think Howard the Duck predates all those. I could be wrong.
Howard the Duck is 86. That Punisher might have been earlier than Howard the Duck.
Yeah, there's that other Punisher, right?
The good Punisher. That Punisher rocks. We watched that on the show a million years ago, too.
Yeah, the Captain America was 1990.
Mm. Holy shit, really? That movie was made like 1960.
The Fantastic Four was 94. No, The Punisher was 89.
Oh, yeah, shit. That Fantastic Four was never actually released, so that almost doesn't count.
Yeah. All right. Howard
the Duck. Well, you guys Howard dodged the bullet, I guess.
Well, don't worry. We'll get back around to more David Lynch movies, I'm sure. All right, Howard the Duck. I'm legitimately excited to watch Howard the Duck. No, I'm not going to lie. I love this movie as a kid. Also, Lily Tomlin. No. Who's the not Lily?
Yep, Tomlin. Lily Tomlin.
It's not Lily. What's her name?
Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson. I had a big crush on her because she's like a rocker chick in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was a big fan. And she fucks the duck.
Uh-huh. At the end, they do it.
And ducks have big corkscrew dicks. So what the hell does Howard the
George Duck? Lucas was executive producer.
I think that might have been the first time I ever saw a rubber in a movie.
Yeah, I want to say George Lucas originally was supposed to direct it, but had to do something else. I know he was like, he's the reason it got made. I know that. Which is
directed by William Hyuk.
William Hyuk.
William Hyuk's Howard the Duck.
Oh my god. I'm glad you're I'm very excited to watch Howard the Duck. I might watch it fucking tonight.
All right, boys.
All right. That's a show. Howard the Duck next week. Go watch Ed Wood. It's a treat. It really is.
Yeah.
Why is it not on Disney Plus? Fuck you, Disney Plus. It should be on Disney Plus.
Is it a Disney movie?
I think it's Touchstone. So
Touchstone.
Yeah. It's a Disney movie, technically.
All right.
All right.
All right, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye.